Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. It is the NRL Finals Week 1 recap live with Just Winnie barbecuing alone. Clarky was at the UFC today, so I'm just going to discuss what I've witnessed over those four finals games. Is it too early to say what a great grand final it's going to be? Broncos, Panthers -3.5. Who do you like in that? It feels like there's two teams playing one level, and then everyone else is playing a different level. The two games involving Brisbane and Penrith were not competitive whatsoever. And then the other two was everything that you ever could want or need from NRL Finals footy. I'd love to hear your guys' reaction to help me react and discuss what has just transpired, especially because I am on my lonesome. So let me know kind of what really stuck out to you. It was a great round from a punting perspective for us, so we needed it. But 3-0 best bets, winning three from three finals best bets. Two of them pretty sweet when, bittersweet when we get to the Sharks game because a multi went down there. But when you can win a bet where the team didn't necessarily even cover the line, like Sharks, and then the Knights with the second half bet, then at least that pays us back for several times this year where we've gone a niche or a derivative bet, and if we just played the full game, we would have won, and we got too cute and lost. So it's great to win those. And then mixed matchup, $3.35, the Knights to have more second half points than the Storm in the full 80. And as you know, Storm are whitewashed, so they had zero. Toppy actually paid that out by Saturday morning, so before the weekend had really even rolled around. Let me check. Hopefully coming through all right. Colt, good evening, Tripod fam. What a great weekend of footy. Harry Potter, Broncos win the premiership. Barney, Nathan, I believe the Knights will knock over the Warriors and beat Brisbane in a prelim. I do think that the Knights would be a threat to Brisbane, although not really on the performance today. You know what I want to actually do? Let's talk about that game. Let's start with the game we just watched. 30-28, after 90 minutes, the Knights prevailed against the Raiders. Obviously, I'm live, having just seen the final whistle and then jumped straight on my computer. So this is my instant reaction. Love to hear yours as well. This game did not really go the way we expected. 5 minutes in, 6-0 Knights. Looks like, on a beautiful sunny afternoon in front of a sold-out crowd, looks like it's going to be a procession. Maybe the Knights players thought it was coming a bit too easy because the rest of the first half was basically all the Raiders, apart from one massive moment in the first half where the Raiders were on the attack and Marzu picked off a pass and then he went nearly the distance and the Knights should have scored and Gagai could have really dealt a blow to the Raiders, only for Hudson Young to desperately scramble and dislodge that ball. Doesn't that feel like so long ago? That was the first half. There were that many talking points first half. So that play was huge. It kept the Raiders in the game. The Raiders went on to score two more times after that. So the Raiders had three first half tries, all three off Knights errors. You've got the first try directly off a Gagai error where the Raiders jam him and score. You got the second try was the short dropout by the Knights. So the kind of an error, not being able to clean that up and not being able to tackle the man who caught the ball. That's the second try. And then the third try was right on just before halftime where Gamble kicked out on the full. And then the Raiders, look, beautiful execution, backline play. Schiller scores in the corner and they slot the sideline conversion and take a 10-point lead into the break. And look, I know that there was a breeze at the Raiders' back, and you can say, yeah, they scored off errors, but the Knights did not look like this Newcastle side that we've seen for the last 3 months. Their defense, I thought, was so passive. They were really letting the Raiders come to them, not meeting them at the advantage line. Missed tackles, 8 first-half errors. Hastings was injured as well, so you knew the Knights would have to come out and chase points and have to shuffle the spine yet again. Ponga hadn't really injected himself into the game a lot. But understandably, he was like kind of trying to nurse that shoulder, not take too many carries. Dan Lever, shout out to you. He was at the game. He said it's wiped 10 years off the life there. So I'm thinking, boy, over to you, Adam O'Brien, second half. You know, the Knights in this 10-week win streak, I believe they were down 10-0 to the Storm very early in one of those games, but they hadn't really faced much adversity by halftime. I think they would have had a lead in every second half and done a lot of them really easy. And then you're thinking, the Raiders are putting the acid on Newcastle here. Can the Knights actually pull themselves out of this when a few things aren't going their way and a couple of their players are hurt or are forced off the field? But then you've got to talk about the next incident, which is early in the first, in the second half, Jack Bighton. I want to hear your guys' thoughts on this. I mean, and I'll just start by saying this. Occasionally we get a biting incident. Seems to be once every 5 years or something, right? And you think, oh, like what a grubby act. And like who would, you know, who could do that? And I do wonder, you guys tell me, like if there's a forearm right across your mouth, pressing into your mouth, is it just natural reaction to actually bite down? Like, because, you know, you can't breathe and it's really uncomfortable to have that forcing like into your mouth, into your teeth. I don't know. Like I'm trying to understand what goes through the head of someone that would do that. The replay seemed pretty damning. There's a bite mark on Gamble's arm. They stop the game. They have a chance to look at it. Now, did Kevin Proctor not get sent off for a bite, I want to say 4 years ago? So I was thinking it's going to be a white and send off and this game's just going to completely flip and the Knights are through and the Knights will smoke them. They put him on report. I thought, oh, it's a soft option. Let the judiciary decide the punishment. Just put him on report. Then they didn't even give a penalty. I'm thinking we've gone from one guy gets sent off and that ultimately like cost the Titans a chance to make the finals. I'm going back to like 2020 because I think the Titans won the five games after that. But White, not even a penalty. And Klein said, well, it's just your word to gamble. But I mean, had the mark, replay was pretty damning. So anyway, I mean, that's one crazy moment among many. You didn't think that was going to matter when the Knights just started turning it on. Enter Kalen Ponga. He scores the try that gets him back in it, has a hand in the next. Four straight tries by the Knights. Not only do they get up 12, but the fourth of the four straight tries is off a Raiders attacking kick that the Raiders bat back and the Knights take it the length of the field and Dominic Young scores. You just thought that's backbreaker. You thought Knights are winning this 20+. Anyone that grabbed the line 13+, 15+, you know, they thought they were done at halftime, down 10, they're going to win anyway. And I'm thinking, well, you know, our second half bets won by a country mile because we had a -6 second half. But I'm kind of thinking, I'm getting greedy, thinking, geez, the full-time line's going to win anyway. I thought I was playing it smart. It's not going to matter. Like, watching that game, you felt like the Raiders had thrown everything they could at the Knights. It's one thing to play from in front and to junk the game up and just play with desperation. But once you've been blitzed and you give up four straight tries in a finals game and one's completely, you know, a length of the field, you think it's gone. Ponga had just slotted a sideline conversion, steps up, curls it, hits the post. And I mention that because, you know, it ends up going to Golden Point. But then the Raiders kick off. They regather it and they basically play the rest of the second half in the Knights, under the shadows of the Knights post. They come up with two tries, including one with 2 minutes to go. And in fact, then get a penalty in the final set of the second half, which gives them a chance at a field goal. So the Knights have to charge down a field goal just to stay alive and get to extra time, not Golden Point, extra time. Then Ponga drops the ball. Second set of extra time and the Raiders opt not to take a field goal. Like, I know it's not Golden Point, but don't you want to get in front? They were right up on the Knights try line. Commentators are saying, oh, they're too close for a field goal. I don't know. For me, I'm kicking the field goal. You're treating it like it's the final 7 minutes of a normal time match. And I feel like you'd probably kick a field goal there. So the Raiders, anyway, they didn't take that chance. And then at the very final play of the first period, Ponga seems to take a great aerial catch, spills it. When he hits the ground, the Raiders actually get another chance for a field goal to go in front. It's charged down. And the Knights get that opportunity on the final set of the second extra time period. And it's a penalty for being offside that allows the Knights a shot at goal. Ponga, he got clobbered. It looked like his head hit the ground, maybe not too hard. I almost thought, oh, they're going to force Ponga off for an HIA and they don't have Hastings. Like, you're going to have your third choice kicker kick it. And in the end, Ponga, he steps up, he drills the kick. Even then, the Knights flapped at the ball about four times trying to retrieve the kickoff, but they just were able to get on it and survive and get through. And the other winner of the day really was New Zealand after being battered yesterday by Penrith, which we'll get to. Watching these two go to war, I guess a bigger win for New Zealand would have been if the Raiders pulled the outright upset, because we all know the Knights are capable of a lot more than Canberra. But still, for the, you know, like I said, the injury to Hastings, see how that comes out in the wash, but also just the energy that was expended and playing this on the final, you know, the final day of the weekend while the Warriors are already in their recovery, that definitely is going to factor into the match next week, which I won't get to. But wow, that was crazy. Let's zoom all the way back now. Appreciate the comments coming in. John says, I think the Knights will go on and beat the Warriors home next week. Look, I think we can all agree the Knights will have to improve a lot on today if they're going to win any more finals games. But, I mean, crazy win. Congratulations to the Knights for fighting back and ultimately doing just enough. And, again, thanks to them for winning our best bet. Now, if I rewind all the way to Friday night at Suncorp Stadium, Broncos Storm, where my best bet was Storm under 18.5. So if I just check the maths there, we got under that with none put on the board by the Storm. Why don't I start with Pappenhausen? Because that was brutal. That was heartbreaking. That was once the result was already decided. He got on early. Was it Tonomapea? I think forced off the field for a HIA. So then they slotted Meany in the centers. Pappy comes on. When the HIA was passed, Pappy came off. But on again later when they're chasing the game. And, man, what a horrendous run, because we know what he's battled through to get himself back out there and how hard he would have had to work, not just on his rehab, but on his fitness to be match fit, to be worthy of being picked in the Storm team. He would have just absolutely pushed his body through incredible barriers to get here. And then, you know, it goes down and you're instantly thinking the worst. And so the good news is that it probably could have been worse, because when he went down shattered, and clearly, you know, in so much pain, I instantly thought ACL. Then when you see he's grabbing around his ankle, I'm thinking he's torn his Achilles. You know, those are going to have you out for a year. So we're in the finals now. That's 2024 gone. But a broken ankle and perhaps not a compound fracture that was feared means we could actually see him play next year. There's worse injuries you could have. So I'm trying to find a silver lining there, obviously. We're hoping the best for Pappy because he's such an exciting player. We got to see some flashes in his return to first grade this year. But that, yeah, that's so tough. And that just added injury to insult, really, for Melbourne after they got pumped by Brisbane. But if I go back to the start of that game, it was only 6-0 to Brisbane after 38 minutes. It was super intense. You could feel that the intensity had lifted for the finals. I think the Storm were almost happy probably that Brisbane got a penalty late and just took the two, and that the Storm would go in at halftime only down 8-0, because on the way to possession and pressure that Melbourne had absorbed, they were still in the game at 8-0. And that's what Melbourne's game plan was, to keep it low scoring, to keep it a grind. And then you've got players like Pappenhausen, but also Munster, Hughes, Grant, that can come up with a moment. So that's what Melbourne was hoping for, but it was, the moment was taken by that man, Reece Walsh, really, just given a little bit of an opening after a repeat set in attack. He scores. Brisbane brings the ball back off the kickoff, gets a penalty on the goal line. Walsh, again, has the defense terrified and dishes an assist to Ricky. And suddenly, it's game over. It was 8-0, and you blink, and it was 20-0, and that's it. And the Storm were gone. So right there was also my same game multi, which is why it wasn't a perfect weekend. Same game I didn't get up, and my 11-1, which combined with AFL, had every leg win except for one, which we'll get to in a second. But my same game, I went neither team to 24 and Brisbane 1-12. So, you know, when it's 8-0 half time, if it's a grinding game, you're a real hot chance of getting there. But Brisbane was just too good, too dominant. It's the same guys that I've talked about so often this season. It's like Carrigan and Haas are just absolutely unstoppable. Melbourne had nobody that could handle them. As we say, we win the best bet. We win the mixed matchup. It gets paid out early. Now that Brisbane have looked so dominant and cruise into a prelim and get Fortnite off and get to play at Suncorp again, I want to ask you guys the question. Kevy copped a bit of flack after Brisbane lost that final regular season game, gave up the minor prem, rested everybody. Like, now what do you think? Was it worth it? I know they could have had their cake and eaten it too. If Brisbane played the first team in round 27 and risked that they wouldn't be as fresh as Melbourne, I think it's fair to say, when you see the difference between these sides, Brisbane would have still won anyway. But the way they've won means they're super fresh, and they looked, you know, flawless on Friday night. So I'm interested. Should in retrospect, has Kevy pulled the right string there, right rein there? Because I think you got to do what gives you the best chance to win the premiership, and I think Brisbane actually did that. And Brisbane has a red hot chance to win the premiership. However, there was a team that played the next day that looked just as good, if not better. But a word on Melbourne, I think, yeah, they're bruised, they're hurting, they're heartbroken for Pappy, but they earned a right to get two shots and they earned a right to play at home in the finals. And they're going to play a side that's also battered and bruised and wounded as well. Let me move. As we see the comments, Kevy is a star. Kevy made the right decision. It's worth it if they win the prelim. And Barney, Broncos 13 plus in the prelim, and the GF, who cares about the minor prem? So there you go. So nobody's criticizing Kevy right now, that's for sure. Panthers Warriors, biggest storyline was before the game. Johnson injured in a training. That's devastating. But I want to talk about Penrith in this game because we take for granted how good they are. They were ridiculously good. I mean, they destroyed the Cowboys last week. The Cowboys were trying to get into the finals and they made them look like reserve grade. And they came out here and just gave the Warriors no opportunity in this game, really. And when I say we take it for granted, like, they've lost rep players each season after they've had great years and made the grand final. And after winning the comp, you lose Matty Burton and Capewell. And then you win another comp and you lose Kikau and Coruscant. And you play a finals game, you lose Luai. Like, people can have their opinions on Luai. He's played the last, like, two or three years of Origin. He's played the last two winning grand finals. Like, he got Samoa to a World Cup final. Like, you can't, and Tungo's been awesome this year as well. And both those guys weren't in the team for Penrith. Like, you can't take players of that caliber out of many sides, if any sides. You take like a rep player out of a spine of really any other team, they can't keep it at this level like Penrith can. So I just thought they were phenomenal. Cleary just made it impossible for New Zealand. And then when New Zealand got these limited opportunities or these few opportunities, they just looked lost. I mean, Walker was in the halves with Tamari Martin, but again, the defense of Penrith's going to make you look like you have no answers. It's going to be a whole new ball game for New Zealand next week in front of Mount Smart faithful. I seem to be hearing it's Mount Smart because I had heard previously Eden Park was an option. In any case, like, cannot wait for that home Wars game next week, but of course I will keep my powder dry in terms of discussing that one on Wednesday, and that'll be when Clarkie's back with me as well. John says Penrith are a juggernaut. Fill-in players stand up, sign of quality team and great coaching. Absolutely agree. And Barney talks about the form of Val Holmes. Don't know what you're talking about there, Barney. Now, what about this game? This is the last one to discuss. And again, this is everything that you want in a finals game. Classic NRL finals game. Roosters 13, beating the Sharks 12. So my best bet was Cronulla plus a half a point in the first half. I love getting that half a point with an underdog, especially if I believe the underdog is going to win. I didn't have strong conviction, but I think if you believe better than 50-50, even if it's 51, 52%, and you can get like a plus a half, especially in 40 minutes of footy, where the probability of the scores being level after 40 in a low scoring game, I think it's like 10% right there. So then you're kind of already at your 60% expected value or winning outcome. So you can have that confidence, and that justifies the best bet for me. And in fact, Cronulla led 6-0 at halftime. And I think we should just relive this game. So I just want to go through some of the crazy moments in this game and throw them out in the comments as well if I miss any or what else stood out to you in this game. McKenna scored, I thought. I know it wasn't obvious, super obvious, and it's a tough call for the ref, and they can never overturn those ones where the players are all flocking to the ball to try and hold it up. I just thought balance of probability from the angles I saw, like as if no part of the ball hit the ground. Maybe McInnes, because he wasn't sure, was too honest, didn't get up celebrating and remonstrating enough. Anyway, thought the Sharks were possibly denied a try early. When the Sharks did cross for the opening try, Katoa even ran it closer to the sticks. Trindle steps up to take the first conversion, not Nico Hines. Shanks the kick from basically in front, and this is a week after he missed from in front against the Raiders. So that's a bit of a what the hell moment. And as we all know, the final score, that's we've got to mention that one again. I'm sorry. I felt like the Sharks were let off a couple of times in the first half by Roosters obstructions. There was a Roosters try called back for an obstruction. There was another time where the Roosters looked like they could build pressure and then error in executing their attack. And it's a penalty, goes the other way. Because I think the penalty count was like 3-1 at halftime, but two of the penalties were obstructions run by the Roosters attack. So other than that, I would say Cronulla had the better of it first half and like played with great intensity and led 6-0. The Roosters scored very early second half, so they strike right back and they score out wide, but Walker steps up and slots the sideline conversion. So, of course, I said it was Sharks 6-0. That's because the Sharks opted to take a penalty later in the first half. But again, they'd already left 2 points on the table. Walker made no mistake, 6-all. The pivotal moment in the game is then after a Sharks line break, and Teddy's made a cover tackle and he's on the ground and it's a cynical tackle on Hines, who probably knew what he was doing and tempted Teddy, baited him into it. And Teddy's sent to the sin bin. And that's the key there. Like, it's 6-all, but Teddy's in the bin. So Ali'i didn't come out in the second half because he had a concussion. Billy Smith had gone set for an HIA and Manu succumbed to the calf. All these backline players were off the field at the same time in a team that's playing with 12. Because as I said, Teddy's in the bin. Sandon Smith is your fullback. The Sharks had to just take the game away from the Roosters right there. They did score the very next set because you could have actually argued 6-all from the it's a penalty. Yes, it's out wide, but if you can kick that goal, you get yourself in front, and then you got you play the full period. They went for it. They scored. Again, missed a conversion. All right, they miss a conversion out wide. I'm just noting that because we know what the final margin was. The Roosters nailed theirs from the sideline. Sharks, this time Nico took the kick, but missed again from the sideline. So the Sharks were up 4. Still, this is where they should have won the game. And like people saying Sharks are frauds and stuff, like, I don't know. Like, they really did play tough. I thought Nico gets a lot of criticism in big games. I thought he was great. I thought he ran the ball heaps more, got so involved. Some ways compensating for maybe Tracy not being 100%, Nico kind of playing like a second fullback out there. I really feel like the Sharks gave themselves a great chance to win. They just couldn't execute in the big moments. And the perfect example is when the Sharks made a couple of line breaks. They were tearing the Roosters apart, as you should, because the Roosters had shifted Wong out to the centers, and they're at sixes and sevens with the amount of backline players that were unavailable all at the same time. And the Roosters were scrambling, making tackles, but there's one line break where Mulitalo kicks it back in field. And I think one of three Sharks is probably going to score, including Talakai, but Brayley can't help himself, hangs an arm out and just cannot bring the ball in, knocks it on. You know, that's a seven tackle set instead of a Sharks double digit lead. You win the game, I feel, if Brayley grabs that. So, Roosters fans, I want to give you credit and give the Roosters credit for amazing toughness and bravery to hang in the game. And part of the reason that the Sharks couldn't tear the Roosters apart and couldn't score just because the Roosters hung so tough when they needed to. And I feel like the Roosters were channeling what they did last week when they were under the pump against Souths in the second half. But they're just thinking, if we can keep this within one score, you're always a chance. Like, the best the Roosters could hope would be to keep it within one score late and have a moment, whereas the Sharks really had the opportunity to blow the Roosters away. So talk about the Brayley chance. Eventually, the Sharks make another line break and the Roosters give away a penalty, which maybe saved the Roosters there because the Sharks are, like, up 4. You've kind of got to take the penalty and go – or take the 2 and go to a 6-point lead in a low-scoring game. But had they just tapped – then I don't know if the Roosters would have kept them out. And by the time the penalty was taken and it was 12-6, Teddy was back on. So the Roosters at least felt like that could have been a lot worse, that 10-minute period. And in fact, not only did the Roosters hang in there, they score off a bomb. It's C.R. Wong, who was amazing in the game and as I said, had to cover right edge or right center when Manu was out, and he pounces on the drop ball and scores a try. And it's 12-all, and it's still anybody's game. I think it is worth mentioning. There was a 3-on-1 strip. Refs missed it. Roosters came up with the ball when it probably should have been a penalty around halfway. Walker kicks a field goal, but again, that's clutch. And to execute that, and that was only about 8 minutes to go. So that's why I'm thinking in the game today, when we're 2 or 3 minutes into extra time, why didn't the Raiders kick a field goal? In any case, Walker puts the Roosters in front. But still, as we saw today, the Raiders scored a try with like 3 minutes to go. Like, you can, teams are fatigued. You can, if you get an opportunity, you know, it's there to score. In this case today, the Raiders scored to send it to extra time. In the game last night, the Sharks got repeat sets on the Roosters line in the final 5 minutes. So I've mentioned all these reasons why the Sharks, I think, should have won, but it's on them to not come up with that play. And that includes not being able to get a field goal off. Well, two attempts, but both charged down. And so that's just not being able to ice it. And that is also huge props to a couple of veterans, Tedesco and Luke Keary, coming up with those plays. You know, your timing has to be right. Your heart has to be, you know, your lungs are burning. But to just put yourself between the goalposts and the footy for your team was obviously monumental for those couple of Roosters vets there, Teddy and Keary. And that just allowed the Roosters to hang on for a super brave victory. Now, I'll have a little whinge and just say, yeah, all those opportunities. I gave out a finals multi. I had like Brisbane in the AFL to cover the line. They won by 50. What else did I have? I had Brisbane. Brisbane won 26-0. I had GWS to cover like a 5 or 4 point line. And I think they won in the end by 30 or 40, you know, and then you lose one game by 1 point. And they were up 6 with an extra man, like with every opportunity to win the game. Like, come on, how come we can't have the one close one is the one that goes our way? So like, that hurts, especially if you had a rocket, like you could have got even better than a 11-1. So I know a lot of us were riding. I think I had over 100 copies on that. Like, that's why it was not a perfect weekend. That one really hurt. But now, to give credit where it's due, Roosters, just to be able to hang in there. If you're a Roosters fan, or if you backed the Roosters, you're going to say, yeah, we deserve to win. And my bet deserved to win, because look at everything that went wrong for the Roosters and they still won. And I can't argue with you. A lot went wrong for the Roosters and they still came out on top. So that's very well deserved. As for the Sharkies, the stat I heard is like, since they won the 2016 grand final, they've only won 1 of 8 finals games. And again, you think back to last year, very similar circumstances, a higher scoring game, but at Shark Park, week 1 of the finals, a game where the Sharks were in front, let the opponent back in late. And last year it was extra time that they went down, I think on a field goal. And this time it was after 80 grueling minutes. So look, talk about grueling minutes. The Roosters have been playing sudden death footy since round 23. And that just continues, and they're going to roll into Melbourne, and that's pretty cool because that's a hell of a rivalry. Ryan says both teams deserve to win. Colt, I was on the multi as well. That was rough. Ryan, Sharks choked, and John, the Roosters have got a lot of injuries to overcome, so that they do for sure. So we'll wait and see what the injury news is that comes out, what the team lists are on Tuesday, and then I'll dive in and just, you know, really battled this year. So one good week doesn't really change too much, but the way that we're punting, I feel like, you know, you can make more. We've made more in the good weeks than we've lost in bad weeks. Like for me, a bad week is 1 and 2 or something. Like I went last week, like, but a good week, like this week, is a sweep where we go 3-0 best bets and win a juicy odds mixed matchup. So certainly happy with that. Hopefully I can continue that through the NRL finals. I really enjoyed that we got a couple of awesome contests, and I enjoyed seeing all the best players and playing to the best of their ability. As Harry says, Val on the bags. Ryan, happy to fade Melbourne. So I hope you guys all had a great weekend, enjoyed the footy as well. And thanks for tuning in. Have a great week, and I'll see you back here 6:30 Wednesday night to preview week 2 of the finals. Lego.